grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. As I thought about or pondered today's kind of crazy-seeming gospel text, I was reminded of my time in Berkeley when I was in seminary, and also since then visiting Berkeley. I remember seeing at certain corners near the marina a group of people hanging out. They were day workers. Some were sitting on the curb, some were leaning against the wall, all hoping to work and receive a fair wage. I'm guessing some of them were maybe even from south of our continental border or maybe other places. Who knows how long they waited or what time they got there? Who knows whether some came late because they overslept or they had other things they had to do before getting there? Who knows what the situation was of those who might have still been there near the end of the day? Were all of them hired? Were some left unhired without a day's wage for the day? I ask similar questions as we think about today's parable of the landowner who paid all who worked, regardless of how long or how short a time they worked, a day's wage or a denarius. I wonder whether those hired for the last hour had been there all day and were the least desirable workers due to age, mobility, ability, temperament, or maybe something else. I wonder why the landowner kept coming back. Was it because the job was so huge he didn't think they'd be able to get it done? Or maybe it was because he knew that the laborers who arrived later or waited longer would also need a day's wage. Can you blame those who worked a full day, toiled in the sun, for feeling they had been cheated? The minute they saw that the last laborers who were paid first and all those in between got the same pay as they were promised, they, of course, expected to receive more. And when they didn't, did they wonder why the landowner rewarded the last workers equally for only working an hour? Was it not unfair and inequitable? What's up with that? Of course they grumbled. And the landowner responded by saying, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" As we hear this parable, do we not question the wisdom of the landowner who, in doing what he did, risked not having any workers show up the next day? It certainly flies in the face of our U.S. system of economy and is countercultural. The ways of the kingdom of heaven or God's reign certainly don't mesh with the way we operate in our world today. Professor of New Testament at Union Presbyterian Seminary, John T. Carroll, writes in his commentary, "Power, wealth, and advantage don't measure in God's domain as they do in our world, even for the leading disciples. Indeed, as the parable proceeds in chapter 20, social and economic relations defy convention. The reversal of first and last figures within the parable when the workers are paid in inverse order and is repeated again at the close of the passage. The world claimed by God's rule turns things upside down, and it may confront our expectations with surprise." End of quote. And Pastor Karen Goltz says of our gospel reading that it, quote, "both comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. Those who only worked an hour received a day's wage, enough maybe to provide for their families, no different in amount than the other workers. But it was what they needed. And what is it that we need? Is it not God's mercy and grace? Love, mercy, and grace? Professor Goltz also wrote, quote, "Because this is not a business model where a day's wage is worth a day's labor, this is the kingdom of heaven, where God seeks out those who need God, which is everyone, calls them according to their ability, and rewards them according to their need. And when it comes right down to it, we all have the same need. We all need God's love, mercy, and grace, because no wage is a truly living wage without it." End quote. And who deserves grace? Does anyone? Are there varying amounts or degrees of grace depending on how much time, talents, or treasure we share? Can God's grace be measured? Are not all loved by God equally? There's no comparing one person with another in God's reign or in God's eyes. In God's eyes, we are all equally worthy and of great value, regardless of our flaws or shortcomings. In fact, God celebrates our amazing diversity. If only we too could celebrate it and learn to live better together. Indeed, no person is more or less deserving of God's grace. Yes, God gives us all more than we deserve. And thank God for that. God's love, mercy, and grace isn't earned or deserved, but freely given. God loves us, sees our need, and responds accordingly. And it is enough for us. And maybe enough for us even to respond in kind, by generously sharing that which we have received with others, as well as responding with our thanks and praise to God. Our God is indeed gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God's economy certainly is unlike any other economy, nothing like ours. It is gift-based, not merit-based. That is one of the things this parable highlights: God's generosity and abundant love. We gather as a community every week and often in between. We come on Sundays and are invited to this communion table to receive God's love, mercy, and grace. Collectively, as a community, we receive it. What a profound gift. Having received that gift, may we live out the week giving thanks and praise for all that God has blessed us with. May we share generously the grace that God has given us. May we recognize where there is need and let others know that they too are valued and loved by God. Where we see injustice, inequity, and conflict, may we use our varied gifts to work towards bringing about justice, equity, and peace. In doing so, we continue working towards healing a broken world. We are, after all, stewards of all that God has given us, especially God's grace. Amen. And I would just encourage you, when you have time today, to take a look at 7:12, Lord's Love and Humble Service. Some of the words are nice there.